It's in the new year. Today being the third of the month, we are thankful that God has spared our lives and that we are able to meet here like this. There are not just many people, but many members who have passed on since last year this time. So while we acknowledge there are thousands and thousands of people who died within the past year, but we are more so well aware of the many members who have been called home to eternity. Again, we encourage you to participate, be it you're a member or a visitor. You are permitted to not only ask questions, but to have your input on any point under consideration that you feel you have something to contribute. We are in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, looking on the subject of head covering as discussed in that passage, that is from verse 1 to verse 16. We are going to be asking Brother Webb, if he will, to read for us verse 1, 2, and 3.
Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God.
That's verse 1, 2, and 3. Before we even go further, with that, last week we did verse 1 and 2. We will be picking up on verse 3 this week. But before we go further, here are a few things to keep in mind. That we do not understand, and by we I mean any group of people or any individual, that we do not understand all aspect of a text does not exempt or excuse us from obligation to accept and to submit to those plain aspects that the text deals with. Very important, not only as it relates to this subject, and I'm going to give one or two or three illustrations. Let me repeat. When you study God's word, a passage might be talking about love, like 1 Corinthians chapter 13. From verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right along verse 10, 11, it's on the subject of love. That you or I may not understand a particular verse, don't ever make the mistake in thinking that you don't understand that verse or that statement, you are exempt from the rest of what the passage says, even though the rest of what it says is plain. Baptism. Do we understand all that the Bible teaches about baptism? If you say yes to that subject, explain for me 1 Corinthians 15:29. Quick. 1 Corinthians 15:29. Read.
Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead?
What shall they do, who, that is they who are baptized for the dead? Is this baptism by proxy, where somebody baptized for somebody else, somebody who is dead? We are not studying baptism. I just throw this out to show you that you accept baptism. You got baptized and you believe that you must. That doesn't mean that everything the Bible says about the subject, you understand it. But what the Bible does teach that is plain to you, you know you are subject to it. So I repeat, that we do not understand all aspects of a text, that does not exempt us or excuse us from obligation to accept and submit to the other plain teaching on the same subject that the Bible teaches. Understood? You don't understand it? Yes, I just use baptism as an example. Those who are baptized for the dead. Last week, we look on verse 1 and 2. In verse 2, yes, we are going to start at 3. That's where we pick up. But to help your memory and to help us get on the right track, I do a little recapping. In verse 2, the inspired apostle talk about keeping the ordinance as I delivered them to you. All those who were here last week remember what we discussed about ordinance, what the word that is translated ordinance mean is the very same word that is translated tradition all over the New Testament. The very same word. Are we all there? We pointed out that there are human traditions, and that there is also divine tradition. Divine tradition is referring to the command, the directive, the teaching of the Almighty God to which Christians are subject. So, whenever you read word like tradition in the Bible, make sure that you look at the context and know exactly whether it's referring to man-made tradition, or divine tradition. Is that understood? It's very important, because as we're coming to, our people go to France with the word custom. Verse 2 again. Notice verse 2. Let us hear it.
Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you.
Watch here now. That's verse 2. Notice, Paul briefly praised the Corinthians for keeping the commandment, the directive, God's order as was delivered to them. Notice that the praise was brief, almost a statement. And you know what he did after that? He got right into the subject that he wanted to discuss. The Corinthians, from what verse 1, 2, and 3 is indicating and following, had ignored inspired instruction and directive given to them by the Almighty God through Paul. They had ignored some of it. Are we there? Especially two subjects on which they had gotten plain directive and instruction. One his head covering, and the other is the communion of the Lord. They had ignored some of the divine instruction given to them by Paul. Hence, no sooner than the Apostle Paul praised them in verse 2, by the time he reached verse 3, he's now going to deal extensively with the abuse taking place at Corinth on these two subjects. Head covering and the communion. Let us hear verse 3 if there is no question here. Verse 3.
But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God.
So do read that again.
But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God.
The but is telling us that Paul is discussing with them a subject that he had previously discussed. The but had that connective connotation. So the Corinthians were not hearing about the subject here for the first time. The both indicate that. Without wearying your brother, could I hear it again?
But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God.
Everybody gets that? May I? Verse 3 of the entire text, from verse 1 through verse 16, is so important that any way we ignore verse 3 or fail to understand its implication, the rest of the text will have no significance or meaning to us. And that is what has been happening. That is what has been happening, because men and women have not grasped the importance of verse 3. Before we discuss, you have a point, Brother Well. Could you hold it, please? But remember, please remember it. A, before we go in detail with verse 3, let us hear some more about custom, because that word comes up in verse 16. And people over the past few years have gone to France with the word. Sometimes I wonder, what's wrong with people? Just do a little more research if you are sincere, and you will see. Yes. So, now, notice. So is the word. The way that is worded tell you that we were discussing this subject or a similar subject before. Eh? So is the word custom, and this is discussing against the word tradition. Eh? That is in the paragraph just above that. Okay? So is the word custom. Let us hear the word in 1 Corinthians 11, 16.
But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God.
Everybody hear that? But Paul says it's a custom. That's all you hear over the years. Oh my God. Let's see how the word custom is used. Let's run now to Luke 1, 9 and 2:27. Luke 1, 9 and chapter 2:27. We are looking how the word is used in the New Testament.
According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went.
Everybody's here with us? Hasn't something done? You notice when we don't want to subject to a particular subject or teaching, we literally put eternal noose around our neck. We hang ourselves because we become downright dishonest. When you are studying the Bible, what you want is truth. You don't want to bury your head in the sand, because that's the lesson started Sunday morning and picking up Sunday morning come is on that very point. Once you have that attitude, you have the Almighty God working against you. What Genesis chapter 6 verse 3 mean? Genesis 6:3. If anybody has it, read.
And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years.
My spirit shall not always strive with. What does that mean? That passage coming up Sunday morning in the lesson. God's spirit does not always strive with man. Oh, that's not what we're teaching on. Let's get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16. I remember the statement I made that people have gone to France with that word custom over the years. Had they been honest enough to just look up how the word is used in the New Testament? Let us hear Luke chapter 1, verse
9
again.
According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple
what
of the Lord.
What does it mean here, the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense? Does the word custom here mean something handed down by men and practiced by the Jew, or does it refer to God's command? God's command in respect to the priest's duty.
That's it. Yeah.
That's what custom here refer to. God's command in reference to the priest's duty. Everybody sees it. If somebody here have a doubt in respect to what that word custom here mean, let me know, because it's very plain. It's the commandment of God in respect to the sacrificial duty of the priest. Not some practice started by a man and then it become accepted and handed down. No, sir. Look out in chapter 2 of the same passage of Luke, this time verse 27.
And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law.
After what?
The custom of the law.
Notice, after the custom of the law. What law? The Old Testament law. And you know what custom? God's command in reference to when the child reached a certain years old. What should be done to the child? So here again is the word custom used, not referring to any man-made, handed-down practice, but to God's divine law. And same way the word is used in Corinthians. Are we all there? Notice the word custom in Luke refers to God's directive, which are commanded in the law, not to human practice or dictates. In these texts, we can see that there are divine tradition and human tradition. The word, it should be there. That is T-H-E-R-E. There are divine custom and nobody have the lesson sheet.
Human tradition.
And human custom. Okay? Brother Webb. Okay. You had a point.
I don't want to break your flow, but you had made a comment in respect to the beginning of verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
With the but. And if I was hearing you correctly, you're saying that the but is an indication that the subject of head covering was discussed.
That's right.
Previously.
Yes. Is it the beginning of verse 3? Yes.
Right.
And the but is connective. That's the idea you get from the use of the word there. And the idea it's giving you that Paul is making a connection to something that he had previously discussed or given to the Corinthians. So when he picks up on the but, it's like he's continuing what he had taught them some time ago. Yes, Brother Webb.
Right. I was wondering, however, if that but would have been in contrast to what he said in verse 2 when he was saying that, I praise you because you would have been doing some things as I delivered them to you.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's saying, but I am not praising you in this. That's how I read the book.
Yes. It could be used like that, but for most theologians, Greek grammar scholars, the but would come in more natural in respect to something already shared with them and the Apostle Paul picking up. Because the way you use the but there, Brother Webb, the way you understood it, it would be more natural if he brought up a contrast in verse 3. And verse 3, in respect to verse 3, is not so much a contrast. He praised them in verse 2. Let me hear verse 2 again.
Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you.
Okay.
But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man.
Yeah.
And the head.
So the but here is not giving you a contrast. It is like he's picking up on something already shared with them, and where Paul was, he got words that the Corinthians, they are, at least some of them, had some problem with it. So he's picking up on that. That's the way, you know, it's not that you're so far-fetched with the usage of the but as you interpret this passage. But when you check, it has more a connective nature, connective to something already taught to them, and is now picking up on a point on that subject that he feel probably he need to elaborate on. Okay, verse 3.
But I would have you know that
in the context, in the paragraph A here.
Verse 3, I would have you know.
Yes.
I would have you know.
Everybody's there with us? I would have you know. Read for me.
This indicates that the inspired apostle wants no misunderstanding of the subject of headship and head covering. He does not want anyone to guess or wonder or be confused.
Are we all there? When we read phrase like, I would have you know, it's not only here it is found, in the Bible, it is saying something. What it really means, I want you to know this. That's the idea in the word. But probably we have seen it so many times in the Bible, we don't let the impact penetrate our mind. I would have you know. I want you to know. I don't want you to be ignorant of this. You see, and as Brother Webb just read for us, you know, the Apostle Paul wants no misunderstanding of headship or head covering. That's the idea here. This is what he wants them to know. He does not want anyone to guess or wonder. Just a minute. Or wonder or be confused about the subject. Are we all there? That is the idea here. Not only that, he does not want them to be in a position that they take what he's saying lightly, that in another year or two, he have to write another letter explaining it again. He wants them to perceive, to understand the subject. And all of this came from the fact that he had to be dealing with it again when he knew he had dealt with it already. May I? We're still on verse 3. I stated a few minutes ago the importance of verse 3 to the entire context up to verse 16. It's important that we grasp, and whenever you engage in discussion and head covering, it's important that you grasp the importance of verse 3, because verse 3 is laying down the divine reason for the man not being covered and the woman being covered. All these other things, the Holy Spirit through Paul going to bring up things to help illustrate. But verse 3 is laying down the creative divine condition. That is, Paul is here going back to creation, not any custom occurring. So it's important that we grasp the importance of verse 3. Where anyone fails to consider or to comprehend the relationship or the divine order laid down in verse 3, where we fail to grasp the importance of the foundation verse 3 is laying down, that person will never understand the rest of Paul's teaching on the subject going up to verse 16. Anyway, we miss the impact of verse 3. The rest of the passage will always be a problem for us. Very important. Read verse 3 again.
But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God.
This is not something came up just when Paul was writing about it. This is God's creative order. Yeah. Going back to creation. Yeah. And as when you read the text, you're going to see everything that is said after this is dependent on this principle. And this truth, headship, God's stratification of authority, and how God's people will demonstrate that they have accepted this and subject themselves to it. Verse 3. The relationship set forth in verse 3 is as unchangeable as the word of God and will last until the end of time. The relationship, the head of Christ is God, the head of man is Christ, the head of the woman is man. It is from this divine truth. It is from this creative order of God that now is going to show how God's people show their acceptance and submission to this. As I've said, it is as unchangeable as the word of God itself.
Yeah.
And it will last until the end of time. For example, one of the things coming out here is the fact that God is a God of order. One theologian said, order is at the center of God's nature. And it's you see order being laid down here. In God's scheme of things, we have positional order, because that is what being discussed here, positional order. Different people in different position. You know? So, in God's scheme of things, in this positional order, we have the Almighty God at the pinnacle. Huh? Then the order descend to, let me skip from the scripture a little. The order descend to angelic being. Then the order descend to humanity. Then the order descend to the lower animal. When I said you have God at the pinnacle, that would include the Godhead, Christ and the Holy Spirit. Then you have angel, then you have humanity, then you have animals. As we progress in the lesson, we are going to look on the fact that there are three divisions of order. One is order in the home, order in the church, are we all there? And we have civil order that is in government. And the Bible deals with all three of them. The Bible deals with order in civil society. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. That's order in civil authority. The Bible deals with order in the home. In the home, the husband is the head of the house. And then you have order in the church. So God is a God of order. And when you and I read just now in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, that is talking about positional or functional order and where God placed each person. Now, the first that God, the first people that God expect to find that acceptable is God's people, the Christian. Put the angel one side a little. The Christians, when Christian throw this around like a football, no mean this, it no mean that. When they are, because any honest man really study the passage, you cannot help but see what it is saying. Any question? Not only that, in the same verse 3, the head must be covered or not covered, depending on whether the person, the child of God, is a man or a woman. The head must be covered or not covered in order to show the proper relationship of Christ, man and woman. Are we all there? The head must be covered or not covered, depending on whether the person, the child of God, is a man or a woman. And the person does this according to God's command, directive, to show the proper relationship of Jesus Christ and of man and of woman. This makes the subject of head covering one of utmost importance. I have said already that everything that follows verse 3 is based on verse 3. Up to verse 16. Why I've said up to verse 16? Because in verse 17 he started to deal with a different subject. But up to verse 16, everything that follows is dependent on verse 3. Somebody call my name. I'm coming. Okay.
Yes. Would you just use verse to apply only to head covering?
Well, in context, if we are dealing with what is dealt with in the context, then verse 3, it's not just head covering. Whatever is dealt with in this context, because what the whole context is showing, the whole context dealing with the subject of head covering from verse about verse 2 or 3 down to verse 16, what it is showing is God's divine order, which God had set in motion from creation. But it is as if the Almighty God was waiting until the church established to have it fully initiated. You see, it's just like divorce, marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What Jesus Christ brought up in Matthew chapter 19, is it 9 or 19? 19. Yes, 19. On the fact that if a man divorced for any other reason except. That was what God laid down from creation. But watch here, throughout the Jewish history, 1500 years, they were permitted to marry, divorce, and remarry for any reason. It was not until now the church coming in that Jesus Christ is teaching that this is what God intended from the beginning, but because of the hardness of your heart, except. But now, as of now, you know, so a person will say, well, how comes God didn't teach the children of Israelis? How comes he didn't teach them that they were divorcing and marrying and divorcing was wrong? God knew that they weren't ready for it, but that was God's plan. When Jesus Christ said, from the beginning, it was not so. You see. So what I'm saying, Brother Pierce, is that all the passage of 1 Corinthians 11 is discussing headship, stratification of authority, and how God's people will demonstrate, not just to their fellow human being, but also to angels, that they accept it and they subject themselves to it. So the subject is head covering. Any other thing touch on in the passage, it's going to relate to that subject. Of course, the glory of God going to come up. We'll be spending some time and that is important, because in fact very important, because what we're going to see is the head covering or not covering is tied to glory. Verse 7 is tied to the woman's glory, the man's glory, and God's glory. And all that is some of the things that we have overlooked for years. And that you know, when the Almighty God killed Herod because Herod didn't glorify him, when the Almighty God, watch here, kill Nadab and Abihu, and just after he killed them, he revealed to Moses, I will be glorified. You know what came to me? Is that when we do our thing, we glorify self and not God. That's the implication of Leviticus chapter 10. When Moses said, explained to his brother Aaron that this is what God meant when he said, I will be glorified in them that come near me. How are you glorified, God? Do exactly as I said. Then when is it Peter talk about, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. Watch here now. That God in all things might be glorified. What I gathered here, it's over the past few weeks, you know, I'm making the connection, and it has been there all the time. The connection is when we do our own thing in worship or in our spiritual religious life, we glorify ourselves, and that is sinful. When we do what God says, he gets the glory. So the covering or not covering, as we're going to learn in weeks coming, is tied to the glory of God. But what you have in the text is competing glory. You have the woman's glory here. You have the man's glory, the woman. And you have God's glory, the man. You know. So Brother Peart, it is tied to head covering and everything that is in the text. Uh-huh. Any input or comment? We have time. Hold on. We have to go get Joshua Power. command the clock them to stop work. Okay, come, please, brother.
The principle outlined in verse 3.
Yes.
The scriptures also indicate this eternal principle of headship.
Perfect, bro. Go on.
What example? Well, there are several scriptures as it relates to the interconnectedness between Christ as the head of the church,
yeah,
between man as the head of the woman,
yes,
and
man being subject to Christ. Yes,
right. So, you say we are out of time. So,
yes.
Maybe next week we look at the actual scripture passages.
Brother Bramley, very important, because just as we close, what Brother Bramley there saying throughout the New Testament. You find that the Bible keep emphasizing functionally the man's place, the woman's place in the Christian home, in the Lord's church, and who is where in this structure of authority. Huh? You know, it's not structure of importance, because men and women are equal. Man is not less important than woman. Woman is not less important than men. But functionally, God gave them their place. And as Brother Bramley is pointing out, but next week when you come, Brother Bramley, we probably will just look on that some more, because it will show that this is not the only place. It's what we have here now is that the Almighty God is laying down here ways that God's people show this not only to fellow human beings but to angel. You see, because the passage going to bring in angel in view. Are we all there? Perfect. That's right. You know, very important. And we beg again that we, just a minute, I want to make sure.